So the title of my sermon today will be The Apathy of a Hollow Heart. And the point of this sermon is to approach the plight of the modern saint. A lack of emotion for God's will and apathy for God's will. Now, my first point is titled An Apathetic Outlook. And I will begin this point by giving you the definition of the word apathy. Apathy is a lack of emotion, a lack of interest, or an indifference towards a subject. The origin of the word apathy comes from the Greek word apatheia, and the root word of this word is pathos, which means emotion. Now, the apathy of the world and the hardening of the world's heart can be clearly seen by Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, through Isaiah's prophecy, which speaks of how these people have hardened their hearts and shut out their ears, shut out their eyes, so that they might not take in God's will or God's word in any fashion, form. And it says, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their ears, and see with their eyes, and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them." They have shut out God in every sense that God has given us. Sight and hearing and in their mind. They have refused to take in God's word. Now, the willful ignorance of God's will can be seen in Job chapter 21, verse 14. It says, "Yet they say to God, Depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways." They're telling God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God that created every single one of us, the God that knows everything about everything because God did create it. They're telling our maker, our creator, to depart from us because we do not wish to know anything that you have given us. We do not wish to know of anything that you have to say because we don't care. That is an apathetic outlook towards God's will. That is an apathetic outlook toward God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, we can see how God has reached out to us, but we haven't taken His hand. "You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make that horse drink," is what Romans chapter 1, verse 28 is telling us. "And even as they did not like to retain God, and in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." They wouldn't accept God into their minds. Anything that God said to them, they would shut it out. They would not allow it to take seed. They would not allow it to grow. They would shut it out. They would kill it before it became fully formed. Another form of apathy towards God's will can be seen in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. This is just showing us how that man has taken God's will and tried to change it into a way that would be more fitting in his social perspective. It says, "And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." This is talking about false doctrine, brethren, about how man has decided that they would like to change God's will in order that what they deemed right to be right and what they deemed necessary to be necessary. Brethren, we cannot do that. That is an apathetic outlook towards God's will. We're telling God, we do not care what you say, but we care what man says. That is apathy, my friends. Now, apathy is not confined to the faceless masses of this world, but it belongs to each and every one of us. In the last year, have any of you, any of us, not wanted to come to church, had wandering thoughts during communion, not thought about Jesus as He died on the cross, not thought about the pain that He had to suffer through, not thought about God's love for us by sending His Son down here? Has any of us lusted for flesh, for gold, for a lifestyle, for your neighbor's car, for your neighbor's wife? Have you told a lie? Have you done any of these things? Because this book has told us that these things are wrong, but yet we continue to do them. That is apathy, my friends. That is apathy. And in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it tells us that all sins are equal in the sight of the Lord. It reads, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This verse has placed lying to sin that each and every one of us do on a daily and possibly an hourly basis. It tells us that this sin is just as bad as every sin that has been seen on this earth. That lying, the sin that every one of us has deemed, yay, it's the least sin in the sight of the Lord. Because that's what we think. But lying in God's eyes is up there with murdering and adultery and all sorts of idolatry. We are wrong in that thought. Every day we have to make a choice. Apathy or to have a reciprocated love for God. We have to love God because God loves us. If we do not love God, then what will we have? Now to move on to point two, I titled this A Pathetic Outlook. Because the key word in apathetic is pathetic. While we as Christians today deal with persecution, it is in no way, shape, or form in any similarity to the persecution of the first century church. Now, if you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 through 38, it talks about how the first century church was persecuted. And about, I'll read it to you. Women, they received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourging, yes, and chains of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with a sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in streets and mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. These Christians, they put the modern-day saint to shame by their willingness to die for their Lord, and our unwillingness to live for Jesus. God has so much love for us, so much love. This love can be seen in John chapter 3, 16. However, we do not always show Him the love that He deserves. John 3, 16 reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God gave His only Son, a member of the Holy Trinity, a member of the single being that God is, the single being divided by three. God took Him to earth and He sacrificed Him. However, this sacrifice is God severing a third of His being. Could you imagine doing that for someone you loved? That is the ultimate act of love. Our God, who created the heavens and earth in Genesis chapter 1:1, who could at any moment take away all aspects of our society and leave us cowering in caves like rats, He has instead deemed to love us. And this can be shown in 1 John. God loves us. In 1 John chapter 4:16, it tells us how an apathetic soul cannot know God. It cannot know love and thereby God. It reads, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." How can we know God if we do not know love? This verse has just told us that we can't. God has shown love for us throughout the Bible. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it reads this, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Jonah, probably one of the most apathetic men in the Bible, has been spoken to directly by God. But he still decides that he wants to do something else. He decides what he wants to do, what man wants to do. My friends, that is an apathetic outlook towards God's will. That is an apathetic attitude. And God, He gave Jonah a second chance. He swallowed him up by the fish in chapter 1, verse 17 of Jonah. And He intervened. He intervened on behalf of Jonah. But He will not do that in our day and age because God has given us the ultimate plan of salvation, this book right here, and the Jesus that lives inside this book and inside of each and every one of our hearts. Our hearts, they have to be changed daily by God's love and our faith in His love. An apathetic attitude towards God and His will is a blatant slap in the face. If you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6, it reads, "If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame." That's telling us that every time we sin, we once again place a crown of thorns upon our Lord and Savior's brow, that we once again drive the nails deep into His flesh. We once again rise Him up from the ground on His cross, causing the nails to grind against His bones and His flesh and to make Him to where He cannot breathe. We spit in His face every time we sin because He has told us that our sin is wrong and He died for us. The Lord will judge the apathetic accordingly. If you will turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 48, it reads, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words as that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." This is telling us if we reject Jesus, then we will be rejected by God on the judgment day. We have to be ready at all times because we do not know when we will face God. God does not want. He will judge the apathetic accordingly. If you'll turn with me to Revelations chapter 3, verse 16, it reads, "So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." This is telling us that God doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. He would rather have none of us than part of us. It tells us that He would rather have us cold or hot than to be just lukewarm. If you will turn with me, well, I'm moving on to my third point now. It's A Positive Outlook is what it's titled. And if you will turn with me to Isaiah chapter 24, verse 15, it tells us how God wants us to decide today who we will serve, ourselves or Him. It reads, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." God needs a decision today. Because of the mortality of man, we don't know when we're going to have to face God. We don't know what will happen. Do you want to be on the other side of... We can't be on the other side. This going to hell. We have to be with Jesus. We always have to be ready. So on this day, we have to decide whether to be hollow-hearted or tender-hearted. I'll read to you the benefits of being hollow-hearted. If you will turn with me to Exodus chapter 7, verse 12 and 13, it reads, "For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said." It reads to us here that Pharaoh's heart was hardened because of God, because of what he did not want to believe what God had told him. He did not want to believe what God had showed him. Now, God's retaliation of this was to send the plagues one by one by one after Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And each time, Pharaoh hardened his heart yet once again. And because of this, Pharaoh's heart was hardened one too many times. And that he died in the crossing of the Red Sea, trying to disobey God's will. Brethren, we cannot do that. The benefits of the tender heart can be shown in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourselves before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. The benefits of having a tender heart towards the Lord and not harboring an apathetic soul against Him is that we will be taken care of by God in all manners, in all ways. We have to change like the people of Nineveh in Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. It reads, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands." These people in Nineveh, they received a direct decision to make. Follow God's will, be destroyed in the flash of a heartbeat. Brethren, we do not have this. Instead, we have the Word of God that we have to read right here and we have to follow on a daily basis. We don't know when we will meet our Maker. We do not know when anything will happen. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, it reads, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." In order for God to direct our steps, we have to make our heart tender and therefore allow the Lord to take control of our lives. We cannot harden our heart against Him. We have to let the Lord direct us. I'd like to end this on a thought. Is there anything that a man don't stand to lose when he lets his own thoughts get in the way of the Lord? Thank you. Thank you kindly.